11.2. The entire modern world is in error in holding that time is the matrix of being. The Buddha, upon his enlightenment, recalled all his past lives, which means that he converted time into space, i.e., abolished time and added to space. You wind up with no time and lots of space, and different temporal modes are superimposed, like the BIP, past, present, and future, like layers of transparencies of an animated film superimposed, laminated, not seen in sequence, but as a multi-superimposition unity unchanging, no longer in flux. Or is it that as each lamination is superimposed, the previous ones, the past, remain? Like the phosphine graphics which I saw, constants emerged. So they did not replace one another, but were added to, built up, the IntelliKey assembling itself. When you go to step Y, you don't abolish step X, nor W before X. They're added to, laminated, so to speak, imploded, opposite of an exploded diagram. Yes, time explodes reality, the opposite direction of added to implosion, or what I thought to be implosion, it was actually lamination. Note: we see not unity, but an exploded chaos. Dick sees a world of suffering, including his own. Yet Vallis offers reintegration through IntelliKey, the actualization of divine potential akin to the development of an embryo. Shattered, we dwell in an explosion of false categories, divided from the eternal in space and time. Despite this rhetoric of explosion, resonant with the 1971 burglary of Dick's Marin County house and the explosion of his fireproof file cabinet, something like the Big Bang of Vallis, the divine reality remains to be integrated through a consciousness willing to go there. Fragments of trash become what Gabriel McKee calls the God in the gutter, as the most abject or insignificant phenomenon becomes a splinter connected in reality to the One. Here even suffering and evil can be creatively understood as a finger pointing elsewhere, beyond the dispersed consciousness of our splintered selves and toward the collective eternal nous, a communion of mind that can only be discovered by each of us in our own particularity. This is perhaps a calling in a triple sense. Dick calls, names, the perception of the integrated nous, Vallis, and the articulation of this perception is also, clearly, his calling, his vocation, and perhaps ours. R.D. Endnote. So that's what I did in Ubik, correctly represented time spatially and the past as spatially within, literally within, the present. And in this speeded-up process, never mind how you speed up purely spatial axes, information which is everywhere and conscious and which cooks pop media, such as TV commercials, appears. No wonder they asked me in May 74, what is Ubik? And no wonder I saw how my 374 experience resembled Ubik. I'll bet I was able to write Ubik because of partially having had a time-into-space conversion experience prior to writing it, maybe due to psychedelics. I was very right in Ubik to see how it related to Plato's forms. The past can be retrieved along a spatial axis, as in Ubik. I did it when I saw acts. Ugh. Vallis is such an important book. It deals dramatically and theoretically with the issues first presented in Ubik and is Ubik's logical successor. Finally, no more police state novel. Ubik, then, is a novel representing a parkway enlightenment, and Ubik is related to stigmata and maze, etc. I must, in 2374, have attained enlightenment as the result of decades of gradual spirit, evolutionary growth. There is a direct connection between Ubik and 2374. It has to do with converting time into space and the results obtained therefrom, as put forth in Vallis. Where I lucked out was finding the "Hear, my son, time changes into space" utterance in Parsifal, because it united 1. Buddha's enlightenment, 2. Paracelsus's inner space. 3. Plato's space as matrix of being. 4. Ubik. 5. And of course, most of all, 2374. Not until I read Wagner's utterance did I finally understand, without which understanding I could not have and had not written Valis. Wagner's statement was the necessary key to it all. The entity Valis is the entity Ubik, which in all the time of writing Valis I never realized. And Valis exists, therefore Ubik exists. Therefore, Ubik as a novel is, like Valis, basically veridical, even though when I wrote it, I didn't yet know it. But I suspect the Lem people suspected it, so they must suspect something on the order of Valis, which I have made some primitive attempt to delineate and define now for publishing purposes. And Valis came closer and closer to fruition and completion. I represented Valis Zebra more and more like Ubik. The informational aspect of reality is only perceptible when the time axis is seen correctly, spatially, evidently because the information lies, to a vital, essential degree, along that axis and must be viewed in accretional superimposed form. With the earlier past parts still within view as essential constituents of the messages, the present ceases to be merely a moving dot between the past and the future, but is extended to retain and include the past, line instead of point. Note: faced with the problem of how to map time and space when they no longer obey the logics of linearity and extension, Dick turns to more virtual models of infodynamics. Note that in this instance, information is viewed as an aspect of reality rather than its essence. One of Dick's refrains in his contemplation of 2374 is a line from Wagner's Parsifal. "Here, my son, time turns into space." Here Dick posits a continuity between all time and space through recourse to a higher order of abstraction, the informational aspect of reality. But Dick avoids the usual opposition between information and reality. R.D. Endnote. 11.8. I just realized something terribly important. In melting the causal trains, Zebra not only frees you from astral determinism physically, but also discloses the fact that in some way these causal deterministic processes and the objects comprising them are not real, but merely hologram-like. In seeing these ostensibly hard processes melt, one understands that they are merely seeming and subject to a non-hard volitional sentient mind. Is this not a freeing of the person's mind in conjunction with the literal physical freeing? His body is freed and his mind is freed of illusion, i.e., the power of illusion over him is broken by being unmasked. This, too, is knowledge and of the highest, the very highest order. Then acosmism, as a view, is induced correctly in the person. Freed physically and freed mentally, the whole of him freed when he witnesses a melting which extricates him on these dual levels, freedom for his psychophysical totality. What could conceivably free him more? This comprises one total single revelation, gnosis, an applied practical gnosis. I see how it works. The world is irreal, not intrinsically, but in relation to something more real, which has the power to make the world plastic. So to view the world as irreal, illusion, is to, without knowing it, be elevated to the higher level of the Savior, even before you know he exists. Acosmism, as a view, is actually a partial nascent view of the Savior and his reality. This means that in my writing, my grand theme of acosmism is already a partial road to the Savior. Thus, acosmism and the Gnostic Gnosis cannot be separated. The Gnosis gives you power over the world, reversing its coercive power over you. What the Savior does is present you with a visible, practical demonstration of 1. His presence, 2. His power to reduce the reality of world to zero, and thus reveal its deluding dokos hologrammatic nature. And finally, for the person to sense that he himself is the vortex is to be elevated to identity with the Savior. Zebra. 11:12. I can come to no other conclusion. Reality is a field onto which our senses have falsely locked and which now coerces us and must be demonstrably broken from outside in a way in which we can witness a perturbation in the reality field, a vortex. 11:14. I just realized after writing the above, as I recall the perturbation in the reality field that I saw, and the melting, that it was the advocate, whatever else might be true or not true. That is so, externalized and real. I must infer the nature of the advocate from my experience rather than from Scripture when necessary. The vortex seemed an extension of me as a field, or at least close to me, tangent to me, and also in me, a presence which entered me from outside, bringing with it a non-me personality. It attacked this world on my behalf to enchain me and to reveal to me the truth, and to aid and extricate and inform me, and speak for me as if it were me, disguised as me. But I stand with the formulation in Vallis that rational intelligence did not create, give rise to, the universe, but is either a product of it or, more likely, has invaded it to combat its blind mechanistic striving. Thus, it is pitted against the universe. My proof, that it is assembling itself from the universe, which it uses as parts which it incorporates and arranges coherently and meaningfully. What this is in conventional theological terms, I do not know. But I know what I experienced, and I saw as it sees, and knew what it knows. And that is enough. I know that it views the universe as a chaos, and I know this view is correct. I can recognize a sentient unitary self-constructing entelechy here. And it is not the universe, and not the creator of the universe, if indeed there is one. It is a life form of ultimate homeostasis, self-creating, i.e. It has made war on the universe and the blind processes of the universe, which are unjust and in fact irrational. It is a higher order of organization than anything we know and is camouflaged here to us. And it is our mentor. Thus I can say of it that I know enough to thank it, love it, and respect it, and recognize it as my Savior. This functional definition suffices me. I also saw its O-1 language, which I just realized recently. Now I realize that in this two-mode system, active or one represents a constituent incorporated into the entelechy, and zero, or at rest, not incorporated. So the structure does not utilize language, but is language, as I state in Vallis. It is living information. The language is it, not used by it merely. It is not just a thinking entity, but a language-thinking entity. It is its own thoughts, as correctly put forth in Vallis. It is imposed pattern, what I call arrangement. There is no corpus separate from whatever it chooses, seizes on to arrange. So in a sense, it has no body, brain, of its own. It can pattern anything to become part of the brain. It totally uses the given and nothing but the given. The constituents then relate, link to each other, and then one another. To do this, it, Vallis, must be able to modulate causal processes. How else can it impose pattern? It bears an uncanny resemblance to Ubik, and also to Plato's noose-persuading necessity. Is it possible that an object and its causal process is only included at the time it's converted from the zero-rest mode to the one-active mode, that the imposition of pattern is itself in flux, using and discarding and moving on? It sure has discarded me. I'm in the zero mode now, and hence outside the pattern. 11:18. Thoughts upon reading the first half of Valis. We are in a situation like the cold pack in Ubik. It is a hologram reality. Time, space, causality, and ego are not real. The world, phenomenal world, is not real but projected. We have pre-programmed lock-in tapes synchronized with the total outer matrix. Subliminal cues and info are fired at us constantly. Reality is really information, as I saw. We are a brain, and the controllers are the three-eyed telepathic deaf-mute builders with crab claws. This explains who they are. They can readjust our hologram at will. We are under their dominion, and we perform a useful cerebral function. They equal Valis, which equals Ubik, and which breaks through on the one-way eerie manifestation basis, which Lem depicts. It is a spurious reality, and their technology generates it. And although they aid and inform us, they also occlude and control us. This is astral determinism. They can and do intervene in their own system. We know this as God. They use camouflage and mimesis regarding their presence here. There is a teaching machine element involved. Timeo cognere. Note. Latin. I fear this knowledge. End note. In a sense, the three-eyed people in their bubbles looking down at us were not so much physicians but surgeons, using laser beams to recontour our hologram. They are not in the hologram but above it, i.e. outside the cold pack, and they've sent Zebra Valis Ubik in. Because of my book Valis, they're going to zap me. They did not invade the phenomenal hologram to help me. They just disclosed themselves. They are rational. It never occurred to me when I wrote Valis that a maze, which I described our world as actually being, is a test situation structure built by a higher life form to teach, test, or study a lower life form. But this is precisely the situation, and they saw fit through Valis to tell me so, i.e. reveal this actual situation. It already has shown up in my writing, fed to me subliminally. So Valis must have their approval, if not outright authorship. The news is being broken to us. I had it all correctly figured out, except for grasping the significance of the fact that maze signifies testing, studying, and training a lower species, that we are the lower species and not isomorphic with the three-eyed people who built the maze. Nor did I grasp the significance of their being outside, i.e. above the maze, looking down at it, represented by the stagnant pond and the pond life. And they're controlling the reality field, i.e. the maze, and us inwardly, outwardly, at will. As the special forces guy in St. Jude's said, maybe we're in a biosphere and owned. Okay, they saved my ass in 374 through their parousia here, Zebra, Valis, Ubik, but we're just pond life to them, living in an ethereal hologram, which they manipulate at will without our suspecting, the supralunar or upper realm, making matter plastic in the face of their mind and making it appear time passes. They have run me like a toy train. 11:22. So Valis is an information center disseminating the truth and also liberating us. It may be a product of the maze project evolving within it and then liberating itself, which is to say us. The purpose of the maze and its dialectic and the problems it poses, especially epistemologically, may have been to produce Valis. 11:22. What does this signify? Is the irreal being transmuted into the real transubstantiation? Yes, Valis is an arrangement, a pattern, not a thing. This arrangement is real. 11:23. 973-1531. Scott Meredith, 845 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022. Russ Galen's sale to Berkeley Books, The Best of My Career. Please congratulate him. Philip K. Dick,